I have been lacking a game on my phone that I can just lose myself in. No thoughts, zoning out, but also still challenged, like I can't stop playing. Well, along came June's journey. So June Parker has to search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, but you also get this captivating detective story while also being set in the 1920s. Each chapter uncovers a collection of hidden objects that you use to solve the murder. So on top of solving the mystery, you also get this fun option to customize your very own luxurious estate island. You can have expansive gardens, beautiful buildings. You can really let your imagination run wild. I love the little script that plays out. I love June's journey, literally. I love the clothes. I love the sets that you're looking for objects in. I just have the best time laying in my bed, winding down, zoning out, building my island estate, solving the murder of June's sister. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hi, Kendrick.
Why, hello, Emily. How are you?
I'm good. So this was a good episode, huh?
Yes, it was a good Sunday night of Bravo. I will say I laughed a lot. So that's good. I mean, I didn't watch it until Monday, but, you know, I still watched.
It still counts as Sunday night.
Yes. Plus three. Okay.
Potomac was really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Potomac was stupid. Like, it was stupid good. It was like, what are you doing, Ashley? You are so much better than this.
It's so, like, they were cracking me up, not just because, like, it was funny because I loved that, like, Robin, like, was late, but still came in and warned, like, still started mess because she was like, you know, that's the girl, right? And so, like, she got it popping. I love that Candace paid them no attention. I love that we didn't know what the hell was going on at Karen's show. I love that the editors equally shaded both of the live shows. And I'm like, okay, this is good stuff. I like this.
Karen is so easy to troll. She's the easiest person to make fun of because she's from season one, episode one. She has such an idea of herself that is so not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you try and make fun of her for it, she still doesn't get it. So she's just really... When she said she was going to do that show... Wait, do you remember, though, actually, the episode... I guess I wouldn't be... last episode we had. Mm-hmm. Matt kept trying to remind her that it's Karen Huger and Friends. He kept trying to do that. And Friends, please don't give people the wrong idea, because it's not... But she didn't want to let people know that.
Right, because I think it was a 75-minute show, and she was in it for 26 minutes, I think.
She was just the MC. It was a variety hour, and she was just the MC.
Yep.
But Candace's confessional with the hoodie has had so many epic one-liner reads.
Yes.
I'm putting together a compilation. There have been, she said, as the ancient African proverb said, I said what I said. That's beyond classic. That's like, that is... meta.
Quoting someone in the National, the African American National Museum. So we'll give you that proverb. We're here for it.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Should we get into Family Karma?
Oh my God. Yes. Such a good episode.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Here at She Speaks Bravo, we believe that Bravo TV is a great form of self-care and therapy. Look at me. I've been using it for over a decade, and I am a complete mess. Oh, that's me, by the way. I'm Emily. I'm your host on this journey, and I speak Bravo, as I'm sure most of you do, too.
What is this, honey?
I love that.
If you're not already subscribed, get subscribed and hit that notification bell, because I'm releasing new episodes at least 3 times a week.
Clip!
You fool!
That's my opinion!
I talk Bravo, I talk true crime, and sometimes I talk a little scripted. So whatever you're here for, I hope you enjoy the show. Okay, episode 8, the Auntie Brunch. So it's happened. Did you see the Twitter wars that have occurred?
Yes, I did. And this is something we are not used to with this cast. It scares me a little, but also I'm thoroughly entertained by it. So
because once it starts, you don't go back. Right. Once the Twitter wars start, you don't go back from this.
Because I appreciate Vishal just simply like kind of getting on there and being like, no, let's set the record straight, and just like straight providing, you know, facts and receipts. And then it just got a little messy from down there. So,
Yeah. It bums me out because it happens. It's happened. It happens to every cast. But like, I was hoping that the lack of reunions would keep them from it.
Right.
There's no denying that the aunties are just as much a part of the show
as
the young adults. Mm-hmm. So it was bound to happen. There's no leaving out the parents, the moms, like they're a part of it. But to have the children like going in and getting mad.
It's like co-mingling of arguments. And that's what's weird, because it's like normally we're used to like the young ones beefing or feuding with each other, even not on social media though, really, but we're used to them seeing like going at each other. Then we used to see like the aunties and uncles like exchanging words and stuff. But like, we're getting some like cross generational stuff now. And it's like, ooh, you can't come back from this.
You can't.
And
like, I'm worried about Brian. Oh, like how's, I know. So
I'm with the baby.
I know. I can't, I cannot handle it. It's too much.
Oh.
So, first, we start off, though, with seeing Bali adjusting to living with her parents, and her man, O'Malley, is just such a big hunk of man, and he takes up a lot of room, so
he's just a big refrigerator, and I kind of love that for her.
And she can handle it, right? Like, if anybody can handle it, and clearly he loves her so much, and she loves him so much, and she's like, do you like what I did with the room? And he's very sweet. He's like, yes, I do like the room. I think you made the room really homey. I'm like, okay. Like, they are definitely doing their best. She says that they're all sharing a bathroom. Does that mean does she mean with her daughter? Maybe that's what she means.
Oh, maybe. Because if the parents are in there too,
with the parents.
Like, okay.
Because it was a 2-story house. That has to mean that can't be. 2-story house doesn't have one bathroom. That's crazy. No. Right?
I mean, okay, wait. There might be, you know, I've seen, you know, I'm a Zillow whore. So I've been on there. Like, I've seen the, what is it? A Redfin whore too, for anyone wondering. But I've been on there and like, I've seen the 2-story homes, but like, there's like the big bathroom, but then there's like the half bathroom somewhere else. And
so it's maybe like it's just a toilet and like a sink.
Oh,
so when she said all of us are sharing, I'm like, OK, I need you to clarify. But I'm going to say I think it's just I think at most it's her daughter and her.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what it is.
How old is her daughter now? Do you know?
She's in college, I think.
So that's what I was thinking, because all of this. See, that's what's confusing to me, because the ex is talking about why can't pay for tuition if you're in that house, and you know, that kind of BS cop out and stuff. And I'm like, okay, so is she in college now, or is he like preemptively doing this to like, I genuinely don't know. So I need someone to like drop in the comments and tell us or something.
I hate to say that, but I did forget.
I know.
because she does talk about it right at the top of the season.
We're going to assume she's in college because we haven't seen much of her daughter, have we?
We have not. She is in college because she has empty nest syndrome.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. Sorry. There's so many shows to keep track of, so it is easy God, to get jumbled. So sorry, guys. But the reason she's not, the reason Bali's not moving to Louisville to be with O'Malley is so sweet. She's like, I need my community. I need my people.
Valid.
Do we buy that? Is she just saying that?
Okay. I was about to completely go all in on her, but I'm going to call her out a little bit, but I'm also going to back her up.
Okay. So, ooh, I like that. A little 1-2 punch.
A little 1-2. You never knock someone down without extending a hand to kind of lift them up. So, Bali, I do think that everything you said is true. You need your community right now. I understand it. You'd be going to Louisville and you would be kind of having to start all over. And no one wants to make friends as an adult. Like, who the hell wants to do that? Like, no, I'm just going to stay in my house. I'm okay. I've got HBO Max. I'll be more than okay without anyone else. So no one wants to do that. So I buy all of that she said. But also, who's going, and no shade to anybody in Kentucky, okay? No shade. Who the hell is going from Miami to Louisville willingly?
Mm.
Just saying. Like, I don't know if I buy that. So, O'Malley, you've got to come to Miami. Sorry.
Yeah, figure it out.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, like, even Lopa's commuting back and forth, and I'm like, girl, why are you coming back here? Like, don't come to Memphis. You're in Miami. Like, stay.
Yeah.
Well, except during hurricane season. Dan, you're more than welcome. But stay down there. No, you've got it made. You don't need Louisville. You don't need Memphis. Y'all, ooh, what was that? Memphis. You don't need Memphis.
You're okay.
I said Memphis. I don't know where that accent came from just then. As if I don't have one already, but I don't know. So yeah. I don't know, Bali. I'll give you credit, though.
I feel like she's really been putting it off. Mm. But I agree. Like, she doesn't have anyone there but him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what the reason is. Like, I'm sure it's work that he can't move.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We'll go with that because otherwise it's just like you really love Louisville that much. And then it's like, okay, well, I wonder if she goes there every now and then. Do you think?
I'm sure she has to, right?
I would guess.
Otherwise, like, that's ridiculous. Otherwise, right. we have a problem.
I'm wondering now, and I'm wondering, like, how much of this cast actually lives in Miami full time? Because I'm like, okay, Anisha's in Arizona. We don't know where Bali is.
When I think about her in Arizona, it doesn't make sense either.
No.
You know,
I mean, got your man. I'm okay with that, you know.
Yeah.
Get your ring and stuff. But, girl, come back to Miami. What are you doing?
They all belong back in Miami.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Brian and Dharma check out an apartment with a fabulous apartment, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fabulous.
Amazing view. Oh, my God.
Oh, my word. With a stacked washer and dryer.
Ooh, we love that.
Oh, my God. I remember one apartment that I've ever had a stacked washer dryer. And it's one of those things where the apartment was great, but the best is when you're like, but then the best part. And then you show that and everyone's like, ooh, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That's the best part.
This really reminded me of my relationship with my mom, because I don't know if y'all know the way a black mother operates, but when a black child gets a new home, it's kind of like their second home. Like, the mother's there. So the mother just pops up, you know, with all, I made pot roast today. Here you go. Like, it's like, okay, like, can you call me first? Cause like, I'm independent now. Let's not do this. So I get it. Like, Dharma's like, no, I need a key. I need to come. I need my own parking spot. Like, I'm coming to see the view too. This is our apartment. And you know what? Okay. Same, Dharma. Same.
Yeah. She's the cutest. And he's acting like he doesn't want her coming over. I'm like, you're going to want her to clean.
Right. And use those washer and dryers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anisha and Chitra, they go and look at a fashion show venue. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that she explained it. It's called like Rhea Collective. And it's a bunch of other designers as well. They're like showing, mm-hmm. like showcasing a lot of Indian designers. When that man asked for what their budget was, I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be the hard part. But they go, $30,000. I was like, right.
Okay, girl.
All right.
Do you think we've been so scorned by like Sheba Sheree that we would not expect?
Yes. Even though Sheree was over there saying shit like, I've already spent $1 million. And we're like, girl, where?
Nowhere.
Where?
No. If you spent $1 million, well, Juan wouldn't have had to tell you that you can get models for $200. So don't believe that. Sorry.
She's one of these mothers. Like, when she says things, I feel like I can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
The way she was comforting, because Anisha starts to cry at one point because she's getting stressed out and she's mm-hmm. overwhelmed and she just, this has to work. And Chitra just says, just in this amazing, she's like, of course, I'll help you. I'm always there. And I was like, okay, never mind. Because like, we're, I think, accustomed to, it's like a very big trope, a Bravo trope, that if they're planning any kind of event, we should all be stressed out. That's just like what should happen.
Right.
But Chitra, like, said, no, we're not going to play that game.
No.
I'm going to put, she said, we're sparing no expense. We're not going to be cheap about it. First, Chitra also suggests she will cook some Indian food. we should have food, right? If we're going to serve alcohol, we'll have food. So I'll make some rice. They're like, no, we'll cater it with some, like, finger foods, like some past hors d'oeuvres. She's like, whatever, I mean. It's your loss, but she will take care of this event.
Yeah, I love that. That is such a mom thing, too, because, like, your moms are trying to, like, make sure everyone leaves, like, heartily fed. We're like, no, finger foods only. I'm not paying for you, like, to make lasagna for these people. No, just, like, get some stuffed mushrooms.
Yeah, some like, tomato, bruschetta. Mozzarella.
Yes.
Like, basil on a little toothpick and mm-hmm. pass that around.
And done.
That's it. No, you're not making vats of rice.
Right.
To go on a table.
No, not but doing that.
Like, no, I have just zero fears at all about this event. I hope they don't even try to do like a, oh man, are we going to get it together thing? Because I'm like, Chitra's got it, guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm all in.
She's just going to throw money at all the problems. She's like, what needs to happen? Here's money.
We literally sat there stressing for months on end about Sheba Sheree. The last minute, we were like, oh dear.
That was too much.
Oh, dear.
It was too much. We were not okay.
No, we were not okay.
Every week, it was not okay. Every week... Uh-uh. She didn't really pull it off, just so we're clear. She got them down the runway with outfits on, but to this day, she still isn't selling those clothes.
Right. That's
true. Those aren't available for purchase.
So I don't know what the purpose of that was, but hey, great season. Cute. 14 Thanks. Finale, I guess. Okay.
And it was like 2 hours late.
Right, girl.
So she poor
Dwight. Dwight was ready to go.
She didn't really do it. So anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Go, Anisha.
So there was this little moment of Vish and Amrit confessional. And Vish is talking about how he was like an angry kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, I threw an easy bake oven at my sister's head.
Jesus.
And he's like, yeah, my dad cursed me. He was like, I hope you have a kid that's just as bad as you, because, you know, that's what you get. That's your karma. And I'm like, okay, this says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because Vish has like an inner rage. And when this next scene where he goes to sign his closing paperwork and he's talking to Amrit on FaceTime,
mm-hmm.
he's catching him up on what happened at the dinner with Richa and Lopa, and he's so like shaky and nervous. This is why I have a hard time with Vish. He's mm-hmm. he's always looks like he's about to maybe cry.
Yeah.
Like his like lip quivers or something, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. It's not just me. Like I'm always worried he's about to break down and cry.
Mm-hmm. It's always been, I remember season 2 when the Patel brothers were on the show, but
yes.
Even though they're not anymore, their parents are just on it, but that's hilarious in itself. But when they were and when he confronted Dylan, even in that moment, as angry as he seemed, it felt like he really wanted to cry in that moment. And it was like, oh, what is happening right now? This is a little odd. I don't know if it's just some people have that nervous energy to them too. And he's one of those people I feel like does not like conflict. Like he is not a confrontational person, but he feels like if he's not, it may send the message that he's not trying to portray. He's not trying to portray to other people, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like he's trying to put on airs sometime about, especially his masculinity sometimes, because I feel like that's been called into question a few times on the show. And so I feel like he tries to like be confrontational sometimes when we all kind of know, like, boy, stop. Like, that's not you. That's not you at all.
And even in this convert, like, so hearing that he was this really angry kid, like, so angry, and even like, mm-hmm. Amrit's like, yeah, I was always like, what's wrong with you? Like, to the point where he was, you know that kid. You know right. that kid. Where you were mm-hmm. like, oh, dude, too mm-hmm. much. So, like, he threw an easy bake oven at his sister's head.
Good Lord.
Whoa. Okay, so there's that. But then he goes into, he's just talking to Amrit. He's just telling, but he's saying things like, I told Richa that she can't be hanging this over my head forever. You know, I told her, like, she's got to, you know, she can't just always hold this over my head because, like, I'm going to make mistakes. You know, she can't always hold this over my head, you know. He was shaky and mm-hmm. He isn't grounded at all. And it reminds me of Reshma, who she has that same. Because, okay, so Jamie Stein, who I've brought up on this podcast a bunch, he's been watching Family Karma and catching up. And I'm mm-hmm. dying to get, because he like taps into like Bravo Labs, like that's what he does. Mm-hmm. And Reshma is vexing to him.
Oh.
Because she is such an, remember she does all those self-help Tony Robbins things too? I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing. That's a thing. And so, like, I feel like this is all so connected. Like, I'm like, you guys need, I need them to get really pissed. And next week, it looks like Reshma's going to get really pissed at Dharma. Mm-hmm. And I need her to do that. I need her to, like, go there because she's, like,
finally let it out.
She's trying so hard to shove it down. I'm mm-hmm. like, you're going to lose it one day. And you need to just let yourself be that.
You do.
And
she
then
absolutely
let
Vish does.
Be that. You know,
uh-huh.
I feel like Vish is afraid to let himself be as angry as he wants to be.
He's fighting hard because yes. I feel like Richa is the dominating personality in that relationship.
Yeah.
So I feel like she has probably capped him out on this anger, like probably told him, like, no, you're not going to say that to me. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. And I feel like he's always kind of conscious about that because I know they're, you know, they're married. They're married.
They're married.
Right. Okay. They're married. We know this. But I always kind of feel like the way Vishal makes it seem, it always feels like any small thing could break them up. Yeah. And I feel like he knows that all the time. So he's always trying to, like, okay, let me make sure I do this. Let me make sure I'm presenting as the person she wants me to present as so she won't, you know, that won't be $100,000 or whatever their wedding costs down the tube and we can, you know, actually be a married couple and both have our name on the deed to this house and all that kind of stuff. Ooh.
Uh-huh. Well, I also didn't realize that he was anticipating she was going to put down half the down payment and now she's not.
Which is kind of crazy, right?
That's insane to me, okay?
That's
a huge thing to back out of.
But still come and, like, sign and put your name. Okay.
I thought all that right. was fucked up, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I get that he's put you through a lot. I really do. But he's admitting he has a problem now.
Right.
And I get that you can still put in your half of the down payment and still not be on the loan.
Right.
So you're going to leave him. I don't know how much the down payment was, but, like, that's a big chunk of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's so proud of herself when she shows up. She's like, ha, 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 I didn't put any money down. And I'm like, it is fine. Like, I actually do think that that's fair. Sure. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be financially obligated on a mortgage together because that is a big thing to sign away. It's really mm-hmm. hard to get off a mortgage. Fine. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know how much you said you weren't going to give him, but how did he even have that money? I don't know. I thought that was a little bit abusive.
It was really kind of, I don't know. The thing that really kind of like shocks me about this is that instead of being like, I don't know, he chose not to be outwardly mad about it. He chose to say, you know, this is my opportunity to step as a yep. man and do this and do that. And it's like, okay, I don't know who you're trying to convince, like us or yourself, but I think any rational person watching this is like, okay, what the hell is going on in that household?
Yeah, dude. Because you guys got all the way married.
All the way, yeah. She gorgeous said, ceremony. Two episodes.
She said yes to that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I get that it was embarrassing for her that you didn't end up sleeping that night at the wedding. And I get it. I get she's mad, but, like, this is a big, big thing. Maybe she's going to pay him back later. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's she's putting her foot down in a weird way. It's yeah. like, hold on, let's think. Maybe he convinced her, like, she's like, I don't want to marry you on camera and then have you humiliate me all season or something. Mm. And so, like, maybe it's bigger than we realize.
It has to be. Nothing makes sense.
Because it feels
sense.
Too savage.
Yeah.
Right?
That's weird. Because if this is just, like, if we take everything for face value, if this is how it is, that's the way it's going, it makes her look really bad. I don't think that either one of them especially want that image of her. So I can't imagine them willingly signing up for this portrayal. So, like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I don't even know.
She's clearly kept a lot of his secrets with regard to, like, his illness and stuff. So there's probably so much we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so fine. I'm gonna back off a little bit, Richa.
Just a little. Can just I tell you one thing, though?
Yes.
That I had no clue about, and it's the most random thing of everything we just talked about. This is what I'm focusing on. But did you know they still sell Easy Bake Ovens?
Really?
I was in my little cousin. I got her some gifts. We ended up going to, like, Target or Walmart for something. And, of course, she wound up in the toy section. And it was, like, a brand new, like, style Easy Bake Oven. Like, same name and everything.
Like,
but it's like
higher end. Like, they've, like, advanced it.
It looks new box
technology.
And everything. Yeah, because, you know, the old ones, you know, y'all know me. I was in there, you know, whipping it up when, you know, with my cousin.
All the batter.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was kind of hard. It was really hard to get that good mix of done on the outside, done on the inside, too. So,
because it was, you know, like a tiny light bulb.
Right. I was about to say, but that's to be expected when you have a fucking light bulb cooking your food. So,
totally.
So it's got to be better now. But she literally, I didn't get it for her because she said, she pointed, she's like, oh my God, I got that for Christmas. And I was like, what? She was like, Easy Bake. And I was like, what? They still sell Easy Bake Ovens after all these years? That's just mine. I almost want to buy one just
really
to look and see.
Really could have swore they recalled those. I feel like I read that, but maybe they recalled them and fixed the problems and then.
Maybe.
Because I really recall them saying, like, wait, no one used the Easy Bake Ovens. You know what it was? Maybe they were like, anyone who had an Easy Bake Oven purchased in this year, don't use it. It's no longer, you know,
if you use an Easy Bake Oven in 1985,
you qualify for a class action lawsuit.
Exactly. Good guy.
Dude, I love when I get emails like that from, like, old, like, when I worked at, like, Urban Outfitters for, like, 5 seconds, and it's like, you could get $25 if you join in. I'm like, well, I'm good.
Right. Like, I am okay. Thank you.
Because, like, the steps you have to take, I'm like,
it's so much.
I don't think so. Bali's estate sale. I love her. The treats at this estate sale were fucking bougie. Okay.
Yes.
Chocolate covered strawberries, gorgeous looking croissants, like pastries.
Chocolate covered, I think. Yeah.
A little drizzle of chocolate. They were gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Amrit and Nicholas come over, and I think they're, like, setting, they looked like they were writing a thing for a lemonade stand. I was like, okay, whatever. But Amrit and Bali go inside to talk about, Amrit being a producer, he kind of prompts Bali, and he's like, I know we're, like, joking around and stuff, but this has to be, like, hard for you. But she doesn't take the bait. She goes, instead, we're going to talk about how Monica got that fancy, expensive bag from Rishi.
Good pivot, because I definitely want to know about that instead.
And I'm happy that Bali was like, nice try. A producer might have even told Amrit, like, let's get Bali to open up about that. But Bali's like, we're not.
Right.
And here's what I found interesting about this scene. Because, you know, we're watching Amrit like a hawk, dude. He's playing, because Bali's like, I find it a little suspicious. If Rishi really didn't do anything, and if this really was just his shitty, like, the shitty, what's her name? What was her name?
Oh,
damn it. I already forgot her
name.
Nirja.
Yeah.
Her messy ass being awful, making up some crappy rumor, who he's not in any way mad at, which is also suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just that, then why is he buying her a bag? Why is he? So she brings that up, but Amrit's going out of his way to act. He's doing, but it's not even a, he's not even being convincing, but it's like he's going out of his way to not be convincing. He's like, oh, well, he could just be, you know, trying to build her confidence a little. I don't know. But it's like he's doing that because he wants to be like, I'm not the bad guy anymore on camera. Mm-hmm. But like he's not doing a good enough job to be convincing. So it's like, I don't know what role, what are you trying to play?
So it still comes
right
across as messy as fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. I was like, I don't get what you're playing right now.
No.
Okay.
Never do.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Mm-mm.
And it didn't, well, I mean, we'll get to it, but it didn't help Rishi's case at all that he kind of slides it in there. He's like, you know, I'm not doing this for any brownie points or anything. I just got, I'm like, oh,
the biggest
God.
Mess of a confessional. Okay, we'll get to, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they get into the sale. A couple people start coming by. I mean, everyone, anyone who's ever had a garage sale or estate sale of any kind, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
But, okay, is this true that an estate sale is when someone dies?
I thought so. That's what
that's
I thought.
True. I guess that's true. That's why Anisha's like, that's not right. You don't want to say estate sale. So Vish and Richa arrive. Did you catch Vish trying on the kimono? And because he has shorts on. Mm-hmm. And he's... Then Amrit is living for this kimono moment. And he's mm-hmm. like, can you imagine me naked under this? And Amrit's like, yeah.
That energy.
There's
that energy.
There uh-huh. is. And I don't like to do that. Like, with, I just, men should have relationships and have friendships and all
right.
that. And I'm not in any way trying to be that, but their dynamic is. Because then we'll get to it later, but then Amrit's going to offer him a drink later in the
right.
episode. And I'm like, see, there's something
weird.
Mm-mm. He just had a deep conversation with you about this on camera.
And still, even and still.
Fucked up.
God. Amrit, what are you doing?
I know. So Anisha tells about her fashion show and she wants them all to walk. But we do get an amazing flashback of Amrit and Vish walking in a fashion show when they were kids.
Love that.
And then they do the recreation of it. I literally wrote, yeah, they're in love. when they did the recreation of it, I was like, oh my God, Amrit loves Vish.
Mm-hmm. I go so back and forth with those two because I do sometimes forget that they've known each other literally their entire lives. But I'm also like, you know, if you're in love with someone as a child, normally that kind of phases out after a while. Like, I don't, you know, we see it in the movies that like, oh my God, I've been in love with him since childhood. And like, no, get the fuck out of here. If you, you know, you might think someone's hot, but like, it's hard to maintain a crush on someone, like a genuine crush. For that damn long. So it's really weird that like their energy, it almost feels like he's the exception sometimes. Or he feels like he's kind of still, you know, like if I wasn't with Nicholas there, you know, it feels like there'd be a chance sometimes. And it's, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I hate thinking like that too. Cause I'm like you, I'm like, man, like men and women can be friends. Gay men and straight men can be like, it's not weird. But sometimes
there's just such a different energy there. I think mm-hmm. it's because with Vish, I feel like he just isn't settled enough into himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like there's a layer we're not getting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like I'm like, are you not exploring something? Are you too afraid of something? That's just the vibe I always get. And I feel mm-hmm. like maybe Amrit in his head is like deep down. He thinks Vish does love him, too.
Mm.
That's
Rich is in the way. Rich is in the way.
That's what I'm getting.
Mm.
And Rich has got such a dominant male energy, too, about her. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just going so many dark places. I'm sorry, guys. This is all allegedly. This is just me psychoanalyzing. But it's just, I feel like Amrit deep down feels like Vish probably loves him, too. but knows that it would never happen. And so like, there's just always that, like, just something in there.
Maybe that's why he keeps offering them drinks, not to like hope something will happen, but so that like he might accept one and Richard be like, okay, I'm fucking out of here. And then he's like, all right, there's my chance. There's my chance.
There's just something that's not explored there. I don't know. Allegedly, guys, I'm not, this is not real. We're just talking, okay?
Just hype, you
we're
know.
Just, we're just trying to figure shit out.
Theorizing, you know.
You know, whatever, okay?
That's it. That's it.
If you, like me, have set these two goals, eating better and saving money on food, HelloFresh is your answer. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned recipes to your door. And the key word in there for me is delivered. For some reason, I really like food being delivered to me. Because even if I go to a grocery store, I still end up ordering delivery. But also, here's the thing about a grocery store. When you find a great recipe online, do you ever realize, oh, now I have to buy a whole ingredient, like a whole bottle or a whole bag of an ingredient that I may never use again? That's why HelloFresh is so good, because HelloFresh, everything's pre-portioned. So if you need some funky ingredient that you're never going to use again, but it's for this cool Thai dish that you want to make, that's where HelloFresh is perfect. So you kind of feel like an amazing chef, but everything's just pre-portioned. You just follow the recipe card. It's laid out in front of you, super easy. And you get to pick from things like calorie smart, carb smart, or if you don't want to do any of that, you can do things like the winter special recipes that are seasonal. You feel real sexy when you cook a HelloFresh meal, I gotta tell you. I don't like cooking. This is just, it's not my happy place. Everyone tries to give me tips on how to make it better. I don't care. It's just not where I flourish. But I like HelloFresh because you pull out the recipe you want to make. It's all in a bag, labeled. I love a label. And then you take out the recipe card that pertains to it and you just follow it step by step. But like the obsessive controllingness inside of me loves it because everything's pre-packaged, right? So you get to lay it all out perfectly. And then when it's that ingredient's turn, you just take it out and you use it. And then when you're done, you throw it all away. Oh, it's real good. And then when you're done, the recipe is actually like a legit recipe because I didn't make it. The chefs over at HelloFresh figured it out. I just put it together. Like Legos, kind of, except, you know, I'm cooking it a little bit, but then they tell you how to cook it. So, hey, you know, go to HelloFresh.com/SheSpeaks21. Use code SheSpeaks21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/SheSpeaks21. Code SheSpeaks21. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. This is the year for me to feel the confidence of a housewife. And that means I deserve to feel good all the time, morning, noon, and night, from my hair to my skin to my body. And I'm going to do that using game-changing products from Kitsch. Kitsch co-signs the confidence of a housewife, no matter what your budget is, though, no matter your hair type, your skin type, they think you deserve to feel good all the time. They are queens over there. They started in 2010 selling hair ties door to door. And now they're in over 20,000 locations. Self-funded, female-founded. Work. Okay? Work. Some of Kitsch's most popular products include their satin pillowcases, caps, and eye masks. And this satin is vegan and cruelty-free because remember, silk is made by silkworms, which is gross now that I think about it. But I use these pillowcases every single night. I don't use any other pillowcases. I even tried to use some cheap knockoffs a few years ago. Not the same. Kitsch's, they are the best. They're so soft. They're preventative. They prevent damage to your hair, which helps when you have to grow out a bad at-home haircut. I wouldn't know, asking for a friend. And also, it helps prevent wrinkles. Once you start getting them, you can't prevent them. So preventative, preventative, preventative to all my 20-something queens. They make shampoo and conditioner bars, something I don't think about till I go to throw out my bottles. But bottle-free beauty is so much better for the environment. This is the biggest one. They have these heatless satin curling rollers. Say goodbye to heat damage. There are literally TikToks of people throwing out their $600 curling irons for these. And the best thing is the price. They are a fraction of that. They're $18. Get out of here. Kitsch, of course, has the quick-drying hair towels and their classic scrunchies and hair ties, plus so much more. Again, I use their pillowcases every single night. I also only use their scrunchies for hair ties. I don't use any other hair ties. I am kind of a Kitsch-obsessed human being. I found them years ago when I was searching how to grow out a bad haircut. Found Kitsch, never looked back. Right now, Kitsch is offering 30% off your entire order when you go to mykitsch.com/shespeaks. That's right. 30% off anything and everything when you go to mykitsch, spelled mykitsch.com/shespeaks. One more time, mykitsch.com/shespeaks for 30% off your entire order.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the girls go in and they discuss, Anisha's like, should I invite Monica and Rishi to walk in the show? And it's like, yes, I'm going to feel guilty if I don't. So I'm going to do it. Monica and Rishi arrive. Just a little side note, the house they are in is such like a normal, like middle-class Florida house. As opposed to just like the sprawling house, but like they're just like in like little tight quarters. And so I'm imagining right. like the camera guys like trying, they're like, okay, we barely can squeeze through here.
It was a very like, okay, the shot is here.
The shot is here.
Yeah.
Because then at one point when Anisha's like, let's go back outside, the camera's like, I don't know how I'm going to capture this. Cause like, they right. couldn't like get through the hallway. It was such it was a like, tight
God
squeeze.
Damn it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So they all go outside and Anisha's like, okay, I want everyone to walk in the fashion show. Monica has a very telling face. She's like, she has a smile, but she's like, it's the most fake forced smile, like uncomfortable nerve. She's like,
oh. Oh my God, that's great. Oh, yay.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that. So here comes the bag part. Bali pulls Monica aside to talk about the bag. And then the producer asks Richie while he bought it. Here's what I wrote down exactly what he said. Clearly, he was on it. How was he not expecting this question? But he right. wasn't. So he's like, let me think about this real fast. Okay. In our Cindy culture, there's this big perception that, it, you know, is your lady is a reflection of you. So you have to adorn her with all these diamonds and fancy things. But then he realizes he probably sees the producer's face and he's like, wait, hold on. But by no means was it done because there was personal gain. But no, honestly, I just wanted to put a smile on her face. But no,
he just can't get the answers right.
So,
ever.
Yeah, he's absolutely lying and cheating and all of those things.
He just cannot get the answers right.
Like, that's why he's not mad at Neerja and his brother.
Right.
He's like, fuck.
I knew it'd catch up with me one day. So it caught up with him. Can I say, I think this thing was the first one where we saw Monica's new, like, interview look. Looked fantastic, by the way.
You know,
we do not go up for Monica too often on this podcast, but she looked fantastic in that new look. My
Gorgeous.
God.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Oh, my
go
God.
Go, Monica. Yes.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Monica, though, she's like, I'm trying not to micromanage the situation and it's up to him. But like, if people love each other, they sit down and make plans together. Yeah. Yes, they do, Monica. So she has all like she can get there in confessionals. But when it comes to talking to him, he can just keep rolling over. Uh-huh. On her. Like, she's just like, okay, it's really sad.
He he's really frustrating because he changes. I think he forgets a lot of times that cameras are there. Like, he knows that he's on a reality show, but I think he forgets that, like, there's documented evidence of what you said to her. Like, it's not, we're not just like, you know, this isn't bedroom talk that's coming out on camera. This is stuff that's, like, been documented for a year now. This is season 3. You were around on season 2. Like, we've seen all of this. So it's really weird that he attempts to, like, I don't know if gaslighting is the right word, but it's lightweight gaslighting, you know, like, in a way, because it's like he tries to say stuff. It's like, no, I always said it was your 31st birthday.
It's gaslighting.
Yeah, I can't even, like, I was trying to make him, like, not a Ralph, but he's pretty Ralph.
No, he's so Ralph. Oh, yeah. He's so Ralph.
He's Ralph.
Oh, it's 100% paralleled all the way.
He's Ralph, yeah.
Molly pulls Anisha over to be like, let's talk about, like, it's so awkward. She's like, Anisha, let's talk about the fashion show. And again, Monica puts that, like, really far. She's like, oh, that's going to be so fun. It's very tense, but they are, mm-hmm. you can tell they are like, we do need to just, like, let this go. So it's like a good, like, I like the way we ended it.
Yeah. Same.
21 dollars was the total.
And that was not the net.
And she's
either.
In the red. She's like, because I spent so much money on the treats. So respect.
Damn it. Those did look like some pretty pricey treats, too.
They looked very gourmet.
Yes. So, very gourmet.
The Patel house, this is where the auntie brunch is going to happen. Uh-huh. The Patels, they're all about that camera time, baby. Raj is there. When I saw Raj coming up, I was like, this is what I've been saying. He should be hanging out with just the aunties, period. Done. Like, let's stop it. But then what happens? They're sitting around talking, and then Mr. Patel is like, Raj, let's go over here and talk, just the two of us. And I was like, oh, he's
for
like,
what?
God damn it. He's like, I was really hoping, ugh, fine.
Right. So he's trying to hear the gossip, but okay.
He's like, I am not here for you. I'm here to hang with the ladies.
Right.
I felt bad. I was like, I would rather have him in this scene with the, ugh, that was really annoying.
Yeah. He pulled him out. I feel like he was going to give some good tea, too.
He was.
Like, I feel like he knew some shit.
And they were going to go back and forth. Like, get out of here, Mr. Patel.
Right.
And then
go
Raj,
with your son.
He
get
talks about, like, Monica and Rishi and, like, that sort of thing. And Mr. Patel's like, you should, you know, put some pressure, whatever. And he's like, oh, I did. I told him I would cut his dick off and hand it to Monica.
God.
I don't think he told him that, but he's like, I talked to him.
But we'll never forget. So he might as well.
Yeah. He's like, he didn't tell him that specific part, but I wanted to be like, don't you worry, dude. He talked to him.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. Okay. So the auntie's sitting around. They're like, oh, Lopa, we heard your speech was so good at the wedding. And then Bali's mom goes, I also heard that you were very hospitable at the wedding. And I'm like, was this planned?
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, that was some good, like, Kenya Moore, like, I'm bringing it up without bringing it up. Like, I know someone is going to, I'm throwing a ball up. This is like a classic alley-oop. I'm going to throw it up. Whoever wants to dunk it, go ahead and take it. And they took it right there. So
Lopa
kudos
goes,
to the aunties.
Well, I'm the mom of the bride. I just went around and said hi to everybody. I'm like, okay, guys.
Yep.
I didn't know you were going to get this messy.
Yep.
And so Lavina says, I'm just letting you know now, if I'm busy, guys, I'm busy when it comes to Amrit's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And Dharma, she's like, I see what's happening here. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. I know that if you were the host of a wedding of 100 people, 300 people, you would say, hey, Dharma. And Reshma didn't say anything to me. So here is where I start to get, this is where now we go into real Bravo habits.
Yep.
I go into my problematic favorites. And I'm like, fuck, I'm Team Dharma. Fuck.
I felt so bad. Like, this scene just
I felt so bad for Lavina.
It was one of the scenes where, like, I don't wish it too often, but I was like, God, I wish the person that was the topic of conversation was actually here so we could, like, really have this conversation because
but it she does will no never good, be like, there.
No, she won't.
She always runs away. Well, next week she will be there.
That'll be good, too.
Mm-hmm. And she's going to fight with Dharma. But here's what I think has been frustrating for the aunties. Remember, was it last season? Might have been season one. Remember when Reshma literally leaves and, like, takes her mic off and won't talk and Bali has to follow her?
Mm-hmm. I think that was season one. Like, that was early.
It was season one.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since then, she, like, won't go to events. Reshma just, like, doesn't show up to shit. And so I feel like that has been really bugging these women because it's it drives me crazy too.
Right. So and you know what? That's the thing where it feels like if I was in their shoes, I get it because if I'm the person that's constantly inviting you to something and every time you're like, oh, sorry, I'm doing, then I'm going to start to think that you think you're better than me. Mm-hmm. And you think that, like, you can't be bothered to come. Like, I don't know if you don't want to come to my neck of the woods or you don't want to come to my event. You don't want to be in my presence. I don't know what it is. But all I can do is theorize because you won't bring your ass around me for me to ask you. So that's all I can do. So Reshma is not doing herself any favors by constantly declining invitations and not coming around any of the aunties or the uncles.
And it is true that if you don't even say hi one time to someone over 3 days,
yeah,
you're ignoring them intentionally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Because I literally, like, at first I was like, okay, this might be some Bravo editing. Like, you know, when they sort of see him, like, Dharma being like, oh, hey, Reshma. And then she just, like, turns, like, this way.
It could be two random shots they put together. Mm-hmm.
But, like, now we're halfway through the season. We still have barely seen Reshma interact with any of them. So now it's like, okay, maybe
and
there's
she's
a little...
admitted that when Dharma tried to get Lopa and her together for lunch, it pissed her off.
See?
So
there we go.
There's something to it. Uh-huh. But when she does that shutdown thing, it's frustrating.
Uh-huh.
And so I then get problematic and I'm like, okay, I kind of... But I feel bad because it's Lavina that they're doing it to.
Uh-huh.
Because what they wanted to have happen is they wanted it to be a talk shit about Reshma moment.
Right.
They wanted everybody... The dialogue was supposed to go like this. The dialogue was supposed to go... Lopa says, I'm the mom of the bride. I just went around and said hi to everyone. And everyone was supposed to go, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say hi to everyone. But then Lavina goes, I'm just letting you know now that if I'm busy, guys, I'm busy. And Dharma goes, that is not in the script. Okay?
Basically, yeah.
We did not, that was not approved. We sent you sides last night.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not in the dialogue, okay?
That was not. You're improvising, and I don't like it.
I don't like it. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So that's basically what happens. Lopa's like, I went to a wedding. Now that we know they're three-day affairs, it's a much different thing realizing they are at weddings for 3 days.
Right.
Getting ignored for 3 days is a whole different thing.
3 days, that's kind of hard to...
Not one high.
You can understand, like, the day of the ceremony, like, you know, let's take it like a typical American wedding. You can understand, like, the mother of the bride not being able to make it to every table and sit and gossip with you or do all this kind of stuff. There's a very, like, we got a little schedule, people, okay? We've got to come in, we got to introduce the couple, introduce the bridesmaid. They've got to take pictures. We got to cut the cake. We got to do a little dancing. Yes. We got to eat the food. You got stuff to do. So, like, I understand that if I can't talk to you that day, girl, thank you for inviting me. I had a great time. I'll see you next Tuesday at brunch. This was an extended weekend.
So many opportunities.
Yeah.
And to say nothing the whole time, that's intentional. Mm-hmm. There's no denying it. But Lavina stays loyal.
Mm-hmm.
She's a real one. She said, Reshma's my friend. And then she starts making excuses, unfortunately. She's like, She had a lot more people, family from her side. And Lopa is so heated. Lopa's like, you should not ignore your guests. You side a lot of times in a wrong way. I'm like, oh, fuck. She is so pissed. And then Dharma, it's almost like this was like a counseling. She's like a big council, like the aunties. Dharma goes, I will agree with Lopa's statement.
Yes.
you are taking sides. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, if you were real friends, you would say she was wrong. I'm like, this is so intense. Because like they're saying it like
intense
so formal.
And intentional, yeah,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then Bali's mom chimes in and says that this was such an interesting thing. She goes, I wasn't there, but I heard that you were the only one at the wedding who were important besides the family. I said, what? How so was people, that gossip?
Right, and people are talking about it. So, right. So like, that's her way of saying like, okay, girl, you might not want to get in this, but like the whole community is talking about it and they are not on your side. Okay.
And they're wondering why you had this like special treat. Like basically everyone's saying that she was Reshma was a bitch to everybody, but you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then, but Lavina's like, well, I just stepped forward and was like, I'll help with anything. And then she goes, if Dharma had come to me and said that, you know, Reshma is ignoring me, and Dharma, I have never seen her be so bitchy. She goes, why would I say that to you, for God's sakes? I was like, this woman has power. Like, there's mm-hmm. like, I suddenly saw the power dynamics.
She felt
in
Lopa-ish
the community
for a yes. while, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, I then saw that I get the community talks. I get like when they say how like, There's power in this. And uh-huh. I was like, got it. Okay.
You
got it. Uh-huh. But Lavina goes outside and she's just so pure. She goes, I'm going to go get air and make a call. And when she walks outside, she like genuinely just takes a breath. She's like, oh, oxygen. Oh, to the camera guy. Like literally to the camera guy.
Right.
But then she calls and, Vish's dad.
Yeah.
Vish's dad's like, I don't think she's coming. Which, by the way, that means she's there and she's not picking up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what I was going to ask
you. Fucking rude.
Did they show her calling Reshma first or was he her first call? Because both of those situations have a lot of implications. Do we know which one it was?
So do you think she tried to call her cell phone, like Reshma's cell phone?
I would have to, because my...
That would be my first phone call. Like,
that would be
call
my
your
thought.
Cell. Are you on
yeah.
your way?
Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's my friend. They're really like going at her. Let mm-hmm. me try to get her here faster so we can like nip all this in the butt. But if she winds up on the phone, see, this makes me think if she winds up on the phone with the husband and at no point does he try to go and get her if she's there, that makes me think too that like Reshma's like, no, I'm over the situations. I'm not even going to appear on camera about this dumb shit. And so that's the whole thing in itself. Or was it that she just was, I don't know if she was already asleep or whatever the situation was, she was invited and she purposely chose not to come.
And then in the confessional, when he's saying like, you know, if someone's already aggravated, she's like, yes, yes, that. See, that. Mm-hmm. Well said. All bitchy. I'm like, Reshma, right when I like you, you piss me off.
Mm-hmm. Reshma, we need more of you second half because
yes.
we got some questions.
Next week, I need to see you mad. So let's get there. Let's uh-huh. get there.
Let's get there.
Okay. All right. So now we're at Amrit and Nicholas, their housewarming party. I like this. Amrit's like, my contribution to this is that I went to the store and picked things up. And then Nicholas, without missing a beat, goes, everything was delivered via Amazon. Perfect.
I love that.
They're setting up. There's like a rat runs by.
Oh my God.
Oh, I felt bad for them.
I had an encounter, not in my house, thank God, but I had an encounter like with a raccoon recently.
Ooh.
And oh my God.
They are savage.
Yes. Nothing will scare the shit out of you like a raccoon, like, moving in your direction. It's like, okay, let me get the fuck in my car and get out of here. Like, I don't need to be here. Like, I'm already like, I don't need to leave my house. Like, I've got Uber Eats. I've got, you know, Instacart. Like, I don't need to leave my house. But like when I leave and then I'm almost getting attacked by a raccoon.
I say the same shit all the time. Mm-hmm. When like, I leave my house and something inconveniences me, I'm like, see, now I don't get why people do this.
Exactly. I'm like, what the fuck did I come out here for?
Okay.
What am I doing?
I just get so pissed.
God.
But here we go. Vish shows up and he's like, can I get you something to drink? And by the way, they make him hold a glass with alcohol in it.
And it was Rich's idea, right? Did she, I know, she want to sip it?
I wanted to throw. I was mad about that. Yeah. I'm like, have a non-alcoholic beverage for your friend who's trying to get sober.
Because it's not like he's just like doing a fast or something.
This
a cleanse.
Is fucked up.
He told you, like, I think I have a drinking problem.
I couldn't believe that. That is so. He'll hold a glass of something. I'm like, excuse me? No, he won't.
That's insane to me. Insane.
That's so fucked up. God. Like, what if he acts? Because it's like it's a knee jerk response to just take a sip of whatever you're holding. Because like it's a glass of something. What if he just takes a sip?
Right.
Why would you not? That. It should be the first thing in your mind when you're thinking about beverages for the evening. Amrit's not drinking any. I mean, Vish isn't drinking anymore. Let's make sure we have something. Let's ask him what he would like to drink tonight.
And how hard is it to make like just a standard mocktail? Like it's the easiest thing in the world. Make something simple. Without the damn alcohol.
I can't believe they did that to him. Yeah. That was really bad.
Yeah.
Especially Richa.
Yeah, bad taste all around.
See, I'm really mad at you, Richa. Still, never mind. I go back to being mad. I'm back to mad at you.
Every time we forgive someone on the show, we go right back to mad.
We're back at mad.
Every time.
Avni comes in looking fabulous, and Brian's like, yeah, she looks good. But her saying she doesn't want to continue things, it's all good. She looks great. So it's almost like, well, you don't know what you don't know until you know, you know? So who knows? I love him.
I do too.
He is just so stupid. You know, yes. He's all you kind of need in a man. You don't need much more. He's just silly and dumb and simple.
So fun and yeah.
He doesn't take anything too serious. I don't know what else you need.
I don't either. I love him.
I love him.
Oh.
He's so cute. Humbert goes, Avni, twirl. Let's show Brian what he missed out on. And she goes, no, he got a little piece. But then Brian puts his finger to his mouth. He's like, shh. I was like, oh.
Right.
I bet they fucked and didn't want anybody to know about it.
Mm.
I bet they had an off-camera hookup. I would bet money.
See, I don't think they went all the way, but I definitely think there was some under the shirt action or some.
I bet there was a little. I bet there was more than you think.
Ooh.
I bet.
No.
I bet. Yeah, that's why she wouldn't have said much if like he just kissed her.
Right.
And like, that's just my theory. She'd be an idiot if she didn't.
Any theory that ends with people banging, I'm okay with. So
me too.
I'll go with that theory too.
Yeah.
There we go.
I like how they make Rishi take his flannel shirt off, but then they make him wear that creepy tank top. I'm like, tell him to put the flannel back on, guys. Like,
I was so okay with the flannel.
The
like,
flannel's
what's wrong?
Fine. The flannel is fine.
It was open. It was, you could see the chain. Like, it was a good look. It was okay.
It was fine. Like,
right.
I mean, maybe just have him unbutton it.
Right. That's like, it.
Just, it was weird.
I love the fact that Bali was the only one that came not completely in black. She had that amazing gold top on with the black leather pants.
She looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. When she does it up, she does it up. Like, she does it right. She does not miss, ever.
100%.
She looks so good. I'm shocked, though, that from what we know of Amrit, I'm surprised he didn't kind of throw a little hissy fit almost, yeah. That she wasn't in all black. That kind of shocked me, but you know.
I think he knows with Bali, he can't.
Okay. Try also, with some.
Why
not
wasn't
with all.
Rishi in all black? I just realized the flannel wasn't all black.
Right. See, most. I was okay with like the you know, the mostly black that people had on. Because, like, Avni had that dress. It wasn't all black, but it was kind of, it was patterned, but it was mostly black. So I was like, okay, you get a pass, you get a pass, you get a pass. But Bali was just straight like, no, I'm not doing all black, sorry. And she made it known in the driveway. She's like, black? Yeah. She did. She looked great.
When she walked in, I was like, there she is.
Mm-hmm.
She got the hair all big.
She knows how to do her makeup just right. Like,
yes, she does.
Hair fill in all the right places. Bali's always like tens across the board.
Seriously.
And I bet she felt good getting dressed up like that.
Yes, you could tell she did.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell she felt really good.
I love that.
You want to know what it is? O'Malley's in town. She was getting laid.
That's got to be what it is.
That's what it was. Mm-hmm. She was like, there it is. Good deed
will change your heart.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. Makes everything look different.
Yep, it does.
Mm-hmm. So true. Monica and Anisha have a good little light conversation. I'm like, okay, less tension. Mm-hmm. We feel like I'm actually like, okay, they don't seem terrible. Uh-huh. For some reason, Rishi is now tray passing desserts in his tank top. I was like, why is he doing this? But this leads the girls to then decide to pull him over and question his ass about proposing. And this is why Monica needs more girlfriends.
Yeah.
Because this is why you need strong women as friends, because they won't let him get away with this shit.
Exactly. Monica is always too busy trying to, like, please the aunties and uncles.
Yes.
Yeah. That she's not concerned with, like, anybody her own age. And it's like, girl, you need some help sometimes, because this scene was evident. Like, you need someone in your corner that's going to be like, okay, what the fuck is going on? Like, what's going on? You've been lying about when you're going to propose. All these rumors are coming out about you cheating. What's going on?
I think Rishi, this told me that Rishi's used to Monica covering for him, too.
Yes, absolutely.
He looked at her like, you're going to co-sign whatever I say, right? So that I don't get yelled at. Like, that was the look. Because Anisha doesn't know that they have that rule. She probably has never even really talked to Rishi. Remember, she called him a cheap Drake, or what did she call him? Something like that.
Dollar store Drake or something like that.
Dollar store Drake. Something funny. But so she straight up says, like, you missed the September deadline from last year. And he, well, was there a hard deadline? I don't think there was. And when he looks at Monica, it's that look of like, she'll confirm whatever I'm saying, like she always does. But instead, this time, Monica nods like, there was a September deadline.
Good for you, Monica.
And I could tell she only did that because she had both Bali on this side and Anisha on this side. Right?
Yep, absolutely.
And so, and Bali adds, September of last year, and now there are ridiculous rumors coming from your home front. Because again, why are you not mad at Nircha?
Right.
Because if there were,
that
they
needs
were
to be investigated.
If they were bogus fucking rumors, you'd be livid.
Child.
And then Rishi has the fucking nerve to say, look, it's before she turns 31, and that's what I told her. And that lie just flew right out of his mouth, no problem.
Yep.
Right out of his mouth, not an issue. He just said it real quick.
Didn't he have to think about it, because he just knew. That's how you know. He's just like, no, she's going to back me up. It doesn't matter. I can say any kind of foolishness, and she's going to co-sign me.
And I lie all the time. And Monica has to remind him, like he didn't already know, that it was 30. He knew.
Who the fuck says 31 when you're doing like
31?
That kind of... No. Either 30 or 35. Like, get out of here. You were not doing 31. What are you talking about?
So he obviously is like, can I go now? Like, he's like, oh, fuck. Like, now... Okay. Mm-hmm. But then Anisha then goes, okay, now can I drag you a little bit, Monica? And I have to say that I was fully on board with what Monica said about this, because I got what Anisha was saying. She goes, I feel like you can forgive Amrit immediately and give him a hall pass, but I would get dragged. And I do believe Monica when she says, well, they sincerely owned it and apologized. And Anisha goes, I apologized. And when they flash back to that apology, I was like, oh, wow, yeah, she didn't really apologize.
Yeah, because I would have, if she said she apologized, I would have absolutely believed her. But those receipts, I was like, oh.
Yeah, Anisha had such disdain for Monica that she couldn't really apologize. And she does have a hard time admitting when she's wrong. She goes in that like, okay, I was wrong.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, what do you want me to say?
We saw it with Richa and Vishal early this season when they had that sit down dinner.
Prime example. She can't just go, I was in my own world. I'm sorry. I should have let you know. She can't go there. Never. She's got to go to defensive. And Monica really did get a, like, they were begging for forgiveness. Like, they were, they felt so, so bad. So I did believe Monica. I really did. And what was great about it is right when it was like, uh-oh, this could turn, Anisha went, but you know what? I'm not doing this because we're both in good places and let's get our rings. And they, it was like, okay, good. Let's be done with this. We'd have no time for you ladies to go at it.
Applause.
Girl power. Because I feel like Monica just saw what Anisha did for her and how she had her back.
Yep.
There we go.
And has her back quite often too, even though she doesn't like her. Which
Agreed.
Really, most people will not. So yeah, that's a good person. So yeah, I'm glad that Anisha decided to do this because this could have been viewed as like, okay, we've already squashed it. What are we doing? I'm a firm believer of blanket apologies fix nothing. You have to fully like go into it and be like, no, this is what I did. This is what you did. Are we sorry about this? And now can we move on? Like, do we actually have closure? And I feel like what they did earlier with just like invitation, she's like, I feel like that was an olive branch. And like, I'm like, no, that's not where you guys need to end this because that's going to be, you know, that can easily be something in the future where it's like, well, I invited you to this. Like, you're not grateful about anything. You know, it can turn into a backhanded something. So no, you got to address it.
You addressed it. You got through it. And maybe Anisha still might wonder. It doesn't matter. She realized. She heard Monica say, that's because they did X, Y, and Z. I feel like maybe deep down, Anisha could admit to herself that she didn't really give a great apology. I feel like even deep down, Anisha's like, okay, fine. I'm the best apologizer.
And she's probably thinking, she was like, did I ever apologize? Like, probably not.
She's like, I was forced to apologize. She was like, coach, like, just go over, say you're sorry. She's like, fine.
Right. So, and she probably, honestly, she probably remembers nothing prior to that Watch What Happens Live appearance. She's probably like, every time she thinks of Monica, she goes right back to that. And she's like, I hate this motherfucker.
And that's fair.
Right. Very fair.
And that's fair. I think also now that Anisha's in a relationship that she doesn't put on camera, there's got to be an element of that where she's like, okay, I'm going to be a little less hard on you because that was part of the thing that they... were mad at Monica about when they had that whole Watch What Happens Live moment. It's like, we were protecting you. We weren't talking about a relationship you were in. It's like, Anisha now can't say shit.
Right, because then it'd be hypocritical.
Full circle. There we go.
They need a reunion.
I know. Well, now that they're going into Twitter wars, they need a reunion. Unfortunately, now we've hit that point. It's official. The cast is corrupted. Reality TV has sucked them in. But let's lean into it all the way. Please. Need a reunion. And the aunties need to be on it. Like, we need the full...
Yes.
We need it to be, like, the aunties and the child. Auntie child. Like, that's how the couches need to go.
And it doesn't need... We don't need three parts. No. One part, maybe two at the most. We're good.
Like,
there's just a solid, like, we need to get together to address these certain things. And then we can move on from this season.
Absolutely.
And plan season four.
Mid-season trailer, we've got Rishi taking Monica on a date that looks like a proposal.
Child.
But as we all know, as of social media, they are not still together.
Okay, do we believe that? Well, because
I've had followers message me that she's either not following him or wasn't following him for a period of time and is now newly following him. They're definitely not engaged.
See, that's what I didn't know if they were trying to, like, do a kablammy. Yeah, like a whammy. We're engaged and we love each other.
Rare.
I would love that, right? It rarely ever happens.
Because that's what ruins it with social media is that we like, see, you know, all that shit.
Yep.
We have Reshma and Dharma in each other's face. Oh, actually, that was the mid-season trailer, so I don't know if it is next week that we're going to see that, right? That was so that could be any time. Dang it.
Right.
I hope it's next week.
It needs to be next week.
Because I want to see Reshma out of her chair up in Dharma's face. I need her that mad. Let's go there.
Right. I need all of that.
Richa says, I don't like that she's yelling at your mom. I need to know who she's talking about. Is it Lopa? Is it Dharma? I need to know who is
Because I feel like if it was Lopa, she would have Lopa's back 3,000%. It was probably Dharma.
It's probably Dharma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicholas is crying about his parents not walking him down the aisle, but Amrit's parents saying we love you like our own son and the wedding. I warn you now, I'm probably going to sob when we recap the wedding because it's just it's going to be so fabulous and amazing. And Amrit's parents are so loving. And if Nicholas's parents agree to be on camera, I'm going to bawl my face off. Like, it's going to be such a momentous occasion. Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful in every way.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Me too.
I need it.
All right, guys, that wraps us up. You know, why don't you do another where to find you, et cetera, since it's been a minute.
Sure.
Okay.
You can find my podcast. I'm doing like a whole like little relaunch starting next week. It'll be some new episodes. I've been kind of on a what I call a holiday hiatus. But you can find the podcast everywhere. Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, all of the places, Reality and Comics 2. Or you can search my name, Kendrick Tucker. Find me on Instagram at Reality Comics 2. That's T-O-O. Come for the podcast. Stay for the memes.
Love it. All right, guys. See you next time. Love you, mean it. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for listening and for watching. If you wouldn't mind, if you are listening, could you please leave a 5-star rate and review? That would be amazing. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed. Like this video and comment below. That would also be fantastic. Don't forget, I've got the Patreon up and running now. That is where all the Bravo jams will be covered. I'm talking Table Flip. I'm talking old school Atlanta. I'm talking old school Beverly Hills. All the good stuff that brought us together as Bravo fans. And of course, follow me on social media if you're not already at She Speaks Bravo on TikTok and on Instagram. And if you want to go that extra mile to support me, buy me a coffee or two or five at buymeacoffee.com/She Speaks Bravo. All right, guys, I'll see you next time.